Hello and welcome to the collaboration between myself, Ashton Hayes, from the Becoming an AMHSW podcast, and Marie Vakakis from the Inside Social Work podcast. We have been talking this week about money, money stories, money blocks, the worth of money, and we're just going to have a discussion about that and wrap that up for you today.
I can't help but have that song in my head, that money, money, money. Is that really old? It is an old song, isn't it? It's like from the 80s or?
Yes. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I'm picturing some sort of scene in Pretty Woman maybe. I'm not sure. Anyway, money is an unavoidable part of running a business. Mm-hmm. It's also an unavoidable part of adulting because we need money to buy stuff, to live, to pay for expenses. We work to earn money. We pay off student loans. It is a topic that impacts almost every single part of our life and yet something we don't often talk about, something that we even hesitated to kind of, we knew it was an important thing to discuss and we wrestled with the kinds of topics versus being spontaneous versus unpacking things live so you could hear our sort of first draft, and I think we landed on a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. How has this week's topic or theme landed with you? What have you been digesting or mulling over as we talk about money beliefs, money stories, myths around social workers and charging, thinking about the future, investing, like the gender pay gap, gender expectations around low paid work? A lot of things have come up on and off air. What's sort of bubbling away for you? What are you kind of chewing on or digesting?
I think I am thinking about some of the old fashioned ways of managing money versus some of the contemporary ideas around existing in a capitalist society. And I think there's space for the old and the new. I think transparency around money is key. The concept of money as being an entity in terms of it being good, evil, anthropomorphized in some way is really damaging because people perceive it through the lenses through which they, you know, grew up, family of origin, and the experiences in their environment around them. And that can be so impactful on how you move through the world and how you relate to money. I think that in relationships, money is important. I still think that people get embarrassed or shy of speaking about finances and how that looks. You mentioned in one of the episodes about couples talking about money and this concept of it being unromantic to decide on how finances are going to be distributed through the relationship is very problematic and leads to situations of potential financial abuse and ultimately can be very damaging to relationships. But I also think the gendered idea of money is something that we need to speak about a little bit more, where women are traditionally paid less and that women often don't speak up, ask for pay increases or ask to be paid what they're worth.
There's so much in that. I think that transparency around money is definitely a big part. As you're talking about couples, I think trying to think about what you think is fair is a really important one, and how you divide costs. And that changes when children are in the picture. And it also changes if people go through periods of illness or study. How do you collectively pull money together? And some of the early finance, I guess, literature that I consumed had this idea of if you're de facto or married, it's one dessert, two spoons. Mm-hmm. Stop seeing it as mine, yours, tit for tat kind of thing. But this idea of money holding beliefs as well really stuck out to me around how some people feel if their female partner out earns a male partner. There's maybe feelings of inadequacy or judgment. There's maybe old notions of being a provider, it's confronting. Maybe it's a masculinity, or some jobs people won't apply for because they feel like, well, if that's this pay bracket, I'm not skilled enough. That's only for really smart people. So our beliefs about money, the stories we tell ourselves, change the opportunities we expose ourselves to. We talked about putting a hat in the ring, but more of a what holds us back in an earlier episode. And I don't know, they're ongoing conversations and thoughts. And I've been really fortunate to find some really good coaches along the way who have done some work on money stories. But if you're not that far along in your business or in your life, you can DIY some of this. You can do a lot just by thinking about and asking each other or yourself, where did my beliefs about money come from, my work ethic, talking to your partner about what their beliefs of money are. Some places through your EAP program or through your superannuation, you can use sometimes, depending on your package, that money for a financial advisor. So there are ways to improve financial literacy. I think it's a really important thing because then it helps you understand so many of these other things and feel more confident to have the conversations, even if you don't know where it's going to lead. Mm-hmm. Starting them is really helpful.
I think you're so right. And I think there are a couple of things that I would tell my younger self. The first is that always have your own bank account. So irrespective of whether you have a joint bank account or shared access to money, no matter what, you should have your own bank account as well. And what you do with that is up to you, but it means that there is a level of independence that gives you opportunities. The second thing is, as I come to a period of my life where I think more about retirement, I mean, not yet. There's still a bit of go in me yet, but I can see it in a way that I didn't see it, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And that is to absolutely put money into your super. And obviously I'm not a financial advisor, but think about the fact that one day you will be retiring. And to retire well, you do need to have access to money. I was watching a TikTok the other day where there were women interviewing people in the street. How old are you? How much do you have in savings? And, you know, there were varying answers. There were a couple of older chaps that spoke to having a couple of million in saving. And then there was a woman who said that she was 70 and she was just coming from work. She was still working full time. She was hoping to buy a property, but she hadn't been able to save the deposit to date. And her real concern was that she wasn't able to retire. And at 70, she really wanted to retire. And I think some of the things that we need to remember is there are generations of women who did not have access to superannuation. When you stay at home, if you choose to be a stay-at-home parent, you know, options for retirement still need to be considered in that space. And I think that is something that I would tell my frivolous young self, that retirement will happen. Time does pass. Doesn't feel like it in your 20s, but it does.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time thinking about that when I work with my mentees and supervisees. Even with some couples, it's really getting them talking about if you're having children, how your super is being contributed to and how costs of childcare. It's not against one person's wage, it's as a collective. And really thinking intentionally about that, how you handle it, because the compound interest or the compound exposure to your industry is significant. And so if I could go back in time and do something different, it would be to put 5 or 10 grand in shares and just leave it there. That compound interest, the earlier you do it, the quicker you do it, the better the results. And so educating yourself around those things and starting to have those tough conversations is so important, because I've seen it, and I've seen it go poorly and I've seen it go really well, where people think they're on the same page and they might say, look, oh, we're really excited to have kids. Oh, they've always wanted to be a dad, or she's always wanted to be a mum. And then they have kids and it's like, no, this is my money. And I've seen people, like, I've heard stories and I've read on Quora or Reddit where people are like, he's expecting me to pay him back for the bills that he paid while I was on parental leave. Is that normal?
Mm.
No, that's not fucking normal. That's not okay. If you're raising someone's child, that those expenses should be reallocated in a way that matches the contribution of child rearing. And so you can't have those conversations if you don't feel comfortable to talk about money. You need to start somewhere. So this goes not just into what we charge for our worth. It's how we feel worthy as people. It's capitalism, consumerism, economics, our financial security. Like, it's actually, it's a big topic. And I've done a lot of study, over a decade of tertiary study, and there was not one single subject around finances. In high school, unless you chose accounting, there was not a single talk, workshop, anything about financial literacy. And yet it can make or break you. It's incredible. So I think it's a topic we need to keep talking about. And if people have questions, I would love to hear them, because I'm happy to do another series on this or another episode, a joint one, a solo, whatever, depending on, you know, whatever you want, let us know, because we need to talk about this. And we're talking about it as two business owners, social workers with complex money stories and different generations. And so I think we can add a lot of food for thought to this.
I definitely think we can. And, you know, it's not about us giving financial advice, obviously, because we're not financial advisors. But what we're doing is sharing our own stories. We would love to share your stories. And just opening up that space to have a discussion about something that does feel uncomfortable, but ultimately ignoring it will be to your detriment. And there is the potential here through transparency to create a whole heap of new, very healthy stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else come to mind as we digest this week's topic?
I think just go gently with yourself around money. It can be a scary topic. I think also reframe the way you talk about it. So I hear a lot of people saying things, oh, I don't really understand money, or it's not, oh, you know, it's not really my thing. And I'm guilty of saying to social workers all the time, when I'm adding up their hours for mental health accreditation, oh, well, I'm not a mathematician, I'm a social worker. But ultimately, if we reframe the language and say, this is a topic that I'm interested in and that I'm learning more about, you are more inclined to engage positively with it than saying, I don't know anything about it.
Do you think it's an uncomfortable thing for someone to actually say, oh, no, but I'm good with money? Like, maybe there's a judgment in actually saying, not saying, oh, I'm bad with money, or I don't understand finances. Like, maybe it goes into that do-gooder, you should do it for free, money's not so important, you do the work you love. Maybe there's actually something that people might find confronting if you said, yeah, I invest, I've learned about interest, I negotiated my interest on my home loan, I'm thinking about my diversifying my portfolio, of course I'm thinking about retirement. Like, do you think that that might catch some people off guard, like it's some other world out there somewhere that they shouldn't talk about?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And I think if you know someone like that, make friends with them. They're going to be able to tell you all kinds of fabulous things.
Is that why you're friends?
100%.
You just want my fancy camera.
Maria's talking about her new podcasting camera, which came up in discussion and was an investment that she made. And because I too like things that are sparkly and shiny, I'm very keen to get involved in her camera by purchasing one of my own. Listeners, I am not going to do that right now.
I'm just winding you up. But maybe by the time this has been released, you might have.
It's a very pretty camera.
So money stories, money beliefs. If you were to give people a sort of takeaway from this, so if they've listened to this series, maybe they want to listen to it twice over and pick up different things. If they were, I don't know, in the car driving, or they kind of on their walk, which most of us tend to listen to podcasts while we're doing something else, what's one thing that you might encourage people to consider when the podcast episode ends, if they want to take an actionable step?
I would really recommend reviewing your money stories. Involve yourself in the journaling prompts that are very specific to money stories, money blocks. Be gentle with yourself about it, but we are social workers. Critical reflection is core to what we do and how we operate. You can definitely incorporate money in that, and I believe that it will serve you well.
What are some of the prompts? Like, we'll pop a link to that in the show notes, but what are some of the prompts that, like, what kinds of things are we hearing?
Things like, people with money are bad. What were you told about money when you were a child? Was money scarce or abundant? Were you taught that money was good, evil, or otherwise? I think that's one of the most important things. The attributing of a characteristic to money contribute to avoidance, and that, of course, can contribute to a diminished literacy, which ultimately will serve you to understand how money works, how it can work for you, and how you can have a lifestyle that suits you.
Yeah. So maybe thinking about what are your money stories. And if you need some more granular things, Ashton has a, I guess, a prompt, a journaling prompt guide. Yeah. I would encourage you to talk to, yeah, like your partner or housemates or anyone, even be on a sales listen to this podcast episode about money. I'm very big on overting things and then just sort of saying, I had some thoughts about my money stories. I never considered it before, or this made me think about something else. So really just starting to open up the conversation. Like you said, what was money, was it talked about in your family, and how? It's kind of like sex, right? Like what's talked about and what's not talked about sends a message. So was it we never talk about money, or was it you always saw your parents spend money and you never knew how they made it, or you always saw it go on credit and so that was what you did? Because sometimes we can overcompensate or we can surrender to the pattern. Yeah. So you might have grown up in a family that put a lot of stuff on credit card and you saw your parents go into heaps of debt. So you might have gone the complete opposite and been very careful about not spending more than you earn.
Mm.
Or you might have just seen that as that's just what you do and not realized that that's not serving you well and that it adds debt and you pay interest and you might not have even understood interest. So having some conversations around that and understanding, I would say, spend the time to understand where your money goes, how much is coming in and where it's going. Yeah. And you might need to painstakingly track it on a spreadsheet, go through your bank statement, pull it out as a CSV file, whatever. Go on Etsy, get a pretty template if that's what you want, but don't spend too much money on it. And don't do it when you're your most tired. If this is something that is already hard and is new and it's uncomfortable, don't do it on Friday night when you're pooped. It's not going to work. Do it midday on a Saturday when you've had a sleep in, maybe a nice walk, a breakfast, spend a couple of hours and do it. So don't set yourself up to fail.
Yeah.
And do something with it. And if you have done something with it or this episode sparked something, let us know. We'd love to hear from you because we are, I know I am, I'm sure Ashton is so passionate about helping other social workers, small business owners, even our clients feel equipped and confident and competent, and understanding our money stories and our psychological blocks around that is one piece of that that I'm very keen on helping people understand more about.
Yeah, I am too. Absolutely. It makes such a difference when you understand the stories, the blocks, and what you can do moving forward.
So I think we might wrap it up there. Yeah. That's our week done talking about money. I hope you've enjoyed this mini series with Ashton Hayes from the AMHS, becoming an AMHSW podcast, becoming an AMHSW, the podcast. I should know it by now. I've said it so many times. And me, Marie Vakakis from the Inside Social Work podcast. Thank you so much for having us in your ears this week. And we would love to hear from you. We want the validation, folks. So come on, let us know, tag us in places, reach out to us, comment on LinkedIn. Don't just lurk. We want to know that this is helpful so that we can keep creating more stuff that you find useful, and it helps us feel warm and fuzzy.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And yes, do get in touch. We really want to hear from you.
Thanks. Bye.